Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Out of Touch, the Elite 1%, and The Battle for America, and The Battle for America's Soul by Scott W. Rasmussen is a political and civic affairs book centered on the distance between ordinary Americans and the institutions that claim to govern, inform, educate, and represent them. Rasmussen, known primarily as a pollster and public opinion analyst, frames the national crisis less as a conflict between left and right than as a conflict between an insulated elite culture and a broader public that still holds many shared democratic commitments. The book argues that media, universities, corporations, and government have become disproportionately shaped by a narrow professional class whose assumptions differ sharply from those of most citizens. Its purpose is diagnostic and civic rather than partisan. It uses public opinion analysis to question who holds influence, how national debates are framed, and whether the ideals of freedom, equality, and self-government remain meaningfully connected to institutional power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the elite 1%, as a cultural and institutional power block, a central idea and out of touch, is that the most consequential divide in American life is not simply partisan, ideological, or regional. Rasmussen focuses on what he describes as an elite 1%, a small group whose influence is amplified by its control or heavy presence within major institutions. The argument is not merely that wealthy people have influence, but that a particular elite culture shapes the assumptions of media organizations, universities, corporations, and government agencies. This matters because such institutions determine which problems receive attention, which language becomes acceptable, and which policy choices are treated as serious. Rasmussen presents this elite as socially and professionally insulated, meaning its members often interact with people who share similar credentials, values, and institutional incentives. The effect is a narrowing of political imagination. Public debate may appear broad because it is loud and competitive, yet the range of acceptable institutional opinion can remain limited. This framing distinguishes the book from standard anti-partisan commentary by directing attention to gatekeeping power and cultural distance, rather than blaming ordinary voters for political dysfunction. Secondly, shared public ideals contrasted with elite detachment. Rasmussen emphasizes that many Americans, despite partisan conflict, continue to affirm core democratic ideals such as freedom, equality, and self-government. The book uses this point to challenge the assumption that civic breakdown begins primarily with mass public extremism. Its claim is that ordinary citizens may disagree strongly on parties or policies while still retaining a recognizable attachment to foundational principles. The sharper problem in this view is that institutional leaders have drifted away from those principles in practice. This contrast allows Rasmussen to separate public disagreement from institutional alienation. A society can tolerate disagreement if people believe decision-making remains accountable and rooted in shared civic norms. It becomes more unstable when citizens sense that major decisions are made by people who neither understand nor respect their values. The book therefore treats public frustration as a symptom rather than the root disease. It argues that democratic legitimacy depends not only on elections, but also on whether citizens believe institutions operate within a moral framework they recognize as their own. Thirdly, a polling-based approach to a polarized political argument, because Rasmussen is best known for public opinion work. Out of Touch positions itself as a data-oriented intervention in a debate often driven by accusation and ideological branding. The book claims to follow patterns in public attitudes rather than begin from a conventional left or right platform. This method is important to its argument because it attempts to show that the divide between elites and the broader public can be observed through measurable differences in priorities, assumptions, and institutional trust. A polling-based approach also lets Rasmussen treat citizens as a source of evidence rather than as a problem to be managed. The book stands apart from purely theoretical critiques of elites by grounding its case in the habits of survey interpretation and public sentiment. At the same time, this approach has an inherent limitation. Polling can reveal gaps in opinion, but it cannot, by itself, prove every causal mechanism behind elite dominance. The strength of the method is its clarity about public attitudes. The weakness is that institutional power often operates through processes more complex than opinion measurement alone. Fourthly, manufactured conflict and the narrowing of democratic choice. One of the book's more significant implications is that political conflict can be both intense and misleading. Rasmussen argues that Americans are often trapped in disputes that appear to represent deep public division, while more important decisions are centralized among elite actors. This does not mean that all conflicts are artificial or that policy disagreements lack substance. Rather, the point is that institutional incentives can highlight emotionally charged disputes while obscuring areas of broad public agreement or practical accountability. If media and political institutions benefit from conflict, they may frame national life as a permanent cultural emergency. That framing can weaken citizens by encouraging them to see one another as the primary threat, while paying less attention to who actually controls agendas and implementation. The danger is a democracy in which participation becomes reactive. Citizens argue over symbols, narratives, and partisan identities, while bureaucratic, corporate, and cultural authorities retain the power to define the terms of debate. The book, therefore, connects polarization to the mechanics of agenda control. Lastly, renewing self-government through institutional realignment, Out of Touch is not only a critique of elite influence, it also presents itself as a call to renew the American promise of self-government. Its practical emphasis is on realignment institutions should become more responsive to the values and consent of the people they serve. The book suggests that restoring democratic health requires more than replacing one party with another. Because the problem is cultural and institutional rather than merely electoral, this gives the argument a broader civic scope. If universities, media, corporations, and government bodies shape national life, then accountability must extend beyond campaign politics. The book's roadmap appears to be less a detailed policy manual than a framework for recognizing the scale and location of the problem. That choice is both useful and limiting. It helps readers identify why dissatisfaction persists across election cycles, but readers seeking highly specific reforms may find the solutions less developed than the diagnosis. The main contribution is to redirect attention from partisan combat toward the harder question of how institutions can regain public trust. In conclusion, Out of Touch is most relevant for readers interested in American democracy, institutional trust, public opinion, and the relationship between citizens and governing elites. It will appeal to politically engaged citizens who feel that standard left versus right explanations do not fully account for national frustration. Policymakers, journalists, civic educators, and students of political culture may also find value in its emphasis on the gap between elite assumptions and public values. The practical benefit of the book is that it offers a framework for interpreting polarization without automatically treating ordinary voters as irrational or uniquely extreme. Its intellectual benefit lies in shifting attention toward institutions, gatekeeping, and the cultural distance between decision-makers and the public. Compared with many books in the same category, it stands out because its critique is framed through the lens of polling and public sentiment rather than purely ideological theory. It does not simply argue that one party has failed or that one movement is responsible for democratic strain. Instead, it presents elite detachment as a cross-institutional problem affecting media, education, business, and government. Readers should expect a diagnosis and civic warning more than a technical reform blueprint, but that diagnostic focus is also the book's main distinguishing strength. If you would like to support Scott W. Rasmussen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.